Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. Here is a housekeeping note. The show website, as you hopefully know by now, is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but since there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, if there's ever a Monday when you think that a new episode of the show is not out, A, check somewhere else. B, remember that the newest episode always shows up on both the homepage of the website if you scroll down and on the episodes page. And C, let this be a reminder of why you should subscribe/follow the show on your preferred podcast listening app. Even though some platforms call it subscribing, there's no cost to do that, and it ensures that the newest episode gets to you each week. If you think the website is down, if you think your preferred podcast listening platform doesn't have the newest episode, remember that there are always plenty of other places to look. Even ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of the Catholic Sports Radio podcast. Anyhow, remember that on CatholicSportsRadio.net, there are also links to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If we think about someone who suffers a career-ending injury, especially those who suffer a career-ending injury very early on in their career at a very young age, if we think of the recent death of former Tampa Bay Buccaneer Geno Hayes, who was only 33, or former University of Hawaii record-setting quarterback Colt Brennan, a sixth-round pick by Washington in the 2008 NFL Draft, who just died last week at the age of 37. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. On your own intelligence do not rely." On your own intelligence do not rely. God is telling us to trust Him, to love Him despite our own ignorance. After all, what is faith if it does not endure when we are tested the most? We might never understand why these career-ending injuries happen or why these deaths at a young age happen, but while God may not give us any answers, He has given us the capacity for love. Our job is to love Him without questioning His plan. So let us pray to help strengthen our love for You, dear Lord, with the warmth of Your love in return, so that we all may truly trust in You with all our hearts and rely not on our own intelligence. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has worked in youth and young adult ministry and CYO athletics for 37 years, including 5 years in the Diocese of Columbus. He has worked for Catholic Charities in Cleveland for 26 years. On the sports side, he played high school and college tennis, coached high school girls volleyball, and coached Special Olympics teams in Pennsylvania and Texas. He is a tennis teaching pro and has coached boys and girls varsity high school. Plus, he was a head tennis pro at a camp and resort north of Toronto, Ontario for 5 summers and in the North Shore area of Chicago at a private club. He also even served on the U.S. Olympic Committee. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Dobie Moser.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you on the show, and I know that you are thrilled to be as busy as you are these days, given where we all were a year ago at this time. Certainly no CYO sports or sports of any kind, for that matter, back then. Share with the audience what you took away from that.
Well, number one, I think we all know, you know, we knew, I think not just me, but our listeners, that in January and February, everybody knew about the pandemic. It was kind of background news. And all of a sudden in mid-March, all of our lives changed literally overnight. We canceled all of our sports and programs for the entire spring. And just the pain and the loss of that for kids, for coaches, for families. We love our kids and we love being with them. We love the chance to see them develop and grow and excel in their sport, but also in their faith. So there was definitely some loss there. We were feeling that loss. And when I think now here it is a year later, we did not take our spring sports for granted. And I'll just use the example of one of our spring sports among many. Track and field in 2019, we had a little over 1,700 kids running at meets throughout, and actually March, April, and into May. And we worked hard to really welcome and invite everyone back. We were thrilled this year we have over 2,200 kids.
Wow.
To see an increase of over 500, it's like, thank you, God. And it is fun. Now, I wouldn't mind if God would decide to not snow in Cleveland in the spring on Sundays, which just takes a few days to warm up after that. But, hey, thanks be to God. We're out there. We're having a blast. And it's great to have the kids and coaches back.
Wow. Wow. Well, on a similar note, talk about some of what you've been doing lately that is an extension of that.
Well, actually, one of the things that it ties into the pandemic, but also beyond the pandemic, we started, and it's, you know, the sport I happen to play the most in my life, but we started CYO tennis in the middle of a pandemic. It actually is a great pandemic sport. You're 80 feet from the other side, and the kids can stay away from each other. And, you know, we did it for third and eighth graders, and when we started it, our goal round one was to maybe get 30 or 40 kids, because these are at indoor clubs and there's some risk being indoors in the pandemic. I was blown away. We had over 130 kids that registered the first time. So we ended up doing it three more times. And in the course of a 1 year period, we had over 800 kids that played CYO tennis. So we just finished this past weekend our whole first year cycle. And the clubs are excited, the parents are excited, we're excited, and we're also going to be adding some summer programs. But we've kind of taken that approach throughout the pandemic and this whole current year of what can we do to invite parents and kids and coaches to be engaged with each other, to be engaged with CYO sports, and most importantly, engage with their Catholic faith.
Indeed, indeed. And there's a lot of conversations around the pandemic that need to be had that it sounds to me that you have a very close attachment to, that you have a very personal involvement with. Yes?
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce. You could not be more correct. Actually, just this week, I spent a day with St. Paul Catholic Community in Westerville, their entire Catholic school faculty and staff, over 100 people. And we called it a day of reflection and healing. You know, there's a line that in my work about how to have courageous conversations. And the line is this, that reflection and prayer is what turns experience into insight and insight into intentional, compassionate action. And what that has meant is coming together, and actually Father Jonathan Wilson, wonderful priest, was with us the entire day. It's a day to be vulnerable and acknowledge our disappointments, our losses, our pains, but also, frankly, to embrace the healing that is available to us through God's grace, God's Spirit, and through our sacramental life. So I actually think it takes courage for people to come clean and name those losses and disappointments, the vulnerability. And the format that I've kind of worked to develop is, how do we have those conversations safely, lovingly, and in a way that begins the process of healing?
Well, and I love all of this because, you know, there's hope for all of us in every new day because of our Father in heaven. But I think that people are so afraid still that they sit at home and they're locked inside, and locked inside of them is this fear that is overshadowing the hope that is available through our Father in heaven, number one, but number two, through programs like what you just described. So it's great to hear that this is going on. In the intro, I mentioned a lot of involvement that you've had with tennis. When it comes to sticking with coaching tennis, I like that you have a vision for it in a Christian context.
Sure. Well, thank you, Bruce. I want to mention one more thing, and I'll be glad to answer that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your comments back related to the pandemic, but the dynamic, and I just think this might help our listeners in any small way, which I'd be thrilled to do. The dynamic that we follow quite intentionally relates to the experience of trauma. And, you know, we can't get into that here, but I'll just say three words that are very central to that conversation. And it's listen, honor, and connect. And that may sound simple, but it also applies actually to our relationship with the Lord of listening, honoring, and connecting. So looking at our own experience and then looking at, okay, how does it connect with our faith experience? The goal is always to integrate. And that day, I got to tell you, that day with St. Paul's recently was just blowing me away, powerful to see the way God did it. But yes, with, you know, getting back to the tennis thing, literally we integrate prayer into our beginning and ending of every session. We're very mindful about coaches training and formation in all of our CYO programs. In the Diocese of Cleveland, you don't coach unless you've gone through our coaches certification development program. And the centerpiece of that, and it certainly applies to tennis, but frankly to all of our sports, is the coach seeing athletics as a ministry by which to help young people and families grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. That is the vision. And we don't just assume, you know, there are all kind of cliches in the world of sports that frankly border on meaningless. Well, I don't know if it builds character as much as it reveals it. And in our case, we want to make sure that character is Christian character, which means how we treat each other, our opponents, the officials, our teammates, how we interact with victory and defeat, and how we reflect on those experiences. There are so many opportunities to experience God's love and grace in athletics that, frankly, we have to have coaches who are trained and aware so they can see those and use those and do it in a way that says, wow, sports in a Christian context really can be very powerful.
So good. So good. I want the audience to understand that the majority of your sports involvement climaxed in your 20s because you then entered ministry full time. What role did you first step into, and how did you know that it was time?
It's funny you say that. I was working at a job for the Houston Public School District, running a large Special Olympics program, and I taught adaptive PE. I taught kids with physical and mental disabilities how to be physically active. And I got to tell you, it was my ministry. As a Christian, at that time, that's where God had me called to be and do. And I was invited to speak at a Catholic church that was having very serious youth ministry problems of the kids just not coming around and being involved. And I literally popped in between two of my schools that I was teaching at for 30 minutes. I remember, talk about a day gone by, there were like four priests, three deacons, two nuns, and one layperson on that staff. Wow. That's called something you'll never see again.
Yeah.
And I had a great conversation with them, and they were concerned about all these other things that kids were being attracted to. And here I am in my tennis shorts and tennis shirts. I just said, I've not heard a thing about what you're doing in this parish for young people.
Mm.
And it got dead silent. And I just said, well, now we know the problem is not all those things out there. The problem's in here.
Wow.
And much to my surprise, they contacted me not long after and said they wanted to start youth ministry and hire a youth minister. And would I be that person? And talk about something I never imagined happening in that way, but it did. And in my own prayer and discernment, it's kind of where God called me to be. So when I moved over to that, I never fully let go of the interest in children with special needs or, frankly, the tennis piece. And there are ways I, frankly, have integrated that sports piece into my ministry ever since.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I love the courage that you showed at such a young age to be bold in your faith and speak the way you did. And of course, God had a plan there for you because you just told us what it resulted in. And for the audience, this is something that you've heard me talk about before. That is this courage and this boldness that we all need to have so that we can all evangelize and bring more people closer to Christ. Just as I have stepped out in faith with this ministry and launched Catholic Sports Radio, granted for well over 2 years now, but with the hope that something in my interviews, something in these conversations, the Holy Spirit we know works in these conversations every week, and something is going to move the person that's listening that needs it the most closer in their faith. Dobie, one of your achievements with the CYO programs in Cleveland has been guaranteed playing time for every child in every sport and no cutting of players. I'd like you to talk about that, mostly because I'm sure you're going to show us that approach through a Catholic lens.
Yeah, I mean, so one requires us in the world of sports, like in any other ministry, to be as educated and professional and competent as we can be in serving children and families. And it is overwhelming research. Why do kids play sports? So one in two answers consistently now for decades. Why do kids play sport and begin to play? Number one, to have fun and to be with friends. And they have fun and they're with friends when they're playing. And the idea that every child needs an opportunity to play, it is sad that in places, and we had to do it here, I'll admit it, I thought it was a sad day that we had to literally about 16 years ago say, you know what? Every child is guaranteed a certain amount of playing time in every sport, and we are going to identify what that is. And in our case, I'll just use our biggest program, basketball. Every child is guaranteed up through the sixth grade to play at least half of a game.
Wow.
And then in seventh and eighth grade, it's a quarter of a game. But the point would be, kids don't play sport to sit on a bench. And they don't learn to grow when they don't get to play. And the reason it doesn't happen is when adults are so focused on winning that they're not focusing on the development of the child.
Mm-hmm.
We're very clear in the Diocese of Cleveland CYO, the development of the child as a human being and as a Christian disciple is definitively more valuable and important to us than winning any championship or game. So consequently, every child is guaranteed to play. And Bruce, I'll just throw this in. You know, believe me, I've had my critics, and I respect they're doing it from where they come from. The kids are turning soft, and I can't believe you're letting every kid play, and they have to earn that playing time. We're talking about children that have not even gone through puberty yet.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, the adult that's hearing that, you know, saying that to me is a middle-aged man whose big excitement in sport is being the general manager of a fantasy football team. And I want to say back to them, when was the last time you ran 40 yards on the field without passing out? You know, like, literally, we need to let children be children. It's not called working sports. It's called playing sports.
Mm, wow.
Father Pat Kelly, the Jesuit, wrote a book related to that. I wrote a couple of chapters in that book. And it's like, it really is about developing children and Christians, not about creating, you know, only winners.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I love that we got to have this conversation. I think that brings a wonderful perspective to it that unfortunately too many people don't consider because society's overwhelming view is, no, you just put the best kids out there and we need to win. So thank you for sharing all that.
Bruce, I want to add just one more piece of that. You know, when we went through the guaranteed playing time, all of a sudden, there was a whole large group of people who thought I was Jesus and an equally large group that thought I was Satan. And I got to tell you, here's the thing that changed. It was fantastic. After 1 year, I would say this to all of our listeners out there. Parents don't come to watch games to see their kids sit on the bench.
Indeed.
Every parent wants to see their child play. But here's the other part. It's not so much what it changed in the games, but most of the time the child is on the team, most of the time is spent in practice. So what it changed was coaches quit coaching only their best players and began to give time and attention to all the players. Because all of the players would decide the outcome of the contest.
Wow.
So it had wonderful benefits far beyond what we had expected.
That's terrific. Listeners, 2.5 years ago, Dobie went through something that no parent ever wants to go through. And I'm guessing that perhaps you might want to press pause while you get a tissue. But before I ask him a question about that, hopefully you've been listening to Catholic Sports Radio for a while now and know as a result that this is my ministry. It's something that, as I said before, I felt called to do because of my countless years working in sports, plus having only known the Catholic faith my whole life, not to mention my background in broadcasting, as well as having been podcasting now for more than 7 years. And this is all detailed on the website, by the way. But the point is, this is not a job I was hired to do. I don't get any income from doing this show, and I don't have any sponsors yet. So all the expenses that have come up over the last 2.5 years all have had to come out of my own pocket. That is, except for the kind donations that listeners and guests alike have sent, and that's so very much appreciated. The latest expense I saw was an email notifying me that the website domain was automatically renewed for another year, plus there's full domain privacy and protection, which all added up to $30.16. Your support helps me with costs just like that one, and when you make a financial contribution, it also keeps me inspired. It tells me that there is a place for what I'm doing here and encourages me to keep at it, despite the fact that what you don't see behind the scenes is that for every, say, 30-minute episode of the show, there's something like 5 or 6 hours of work that goes into each one. The point here is, if what I'm doing is making an impact, if you believe in this ministry, you like Catholic Sports Radio and feel it's helping your faith life, you believe in the mission and think it's a good resource to help others in their faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution. You can do it securely online through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast and easy to do, and you can contribute in whatever amount you wish. I'm mentioning this most recent $30 expense I had to pay, and a couple weeks ago, you heard former NHL referee Kerry Frazier pledge $100, which he then sent me along with his challenge for others to match that. But the fact is, there's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from when you utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. You put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead send in a check through the mail. Just go to the contact section of the website to contact me and ask for the address to send it to. And since there's no team around me helping with this, it's just me taking this all on by myself. I will be the one personally emailing you back with the address to mail your check to. I'll happily say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big. No contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Dobie, I will ask you in a bit to share with the audience about your marriage and the family that has come from that. But first, I need to come back to what I said as I went into that break. 2.5 years ago, you lost your son, Vinny. I'm going to read one paragraph that you wrote in his eulogy and ask you a question about it. You wrote, quote, "What would Jesus do is the wrong question. Where would Jesus go and who would Jesus be with are our questions. Vinny brought us into contact with and relationships with the homeless, the mentally ill, the suffering, the addicted, and those in recovery, the refugees and immigrants, those in jail, and those living in the shadows and on the margins. Those are our people. Those are God's people. It was in those places and with those people, through our beloved Vinny, that we found the face of God." End quote. So, Dobie, can you reflect on that excerpt in the context of the lessons we can learn in our hardships, be they in sports or in our family life?
Sure. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate you bringing that up. A few comments. One would be, one of the things that life teaches us, if we're open to learning it, is that we do not choose our own sufferings. They choose us. And we do, by the grace of God, choose how we respond to them. And I think in our case, Vinny was diagnosed very young, by age 10, with schizophrenia. And it was absolutely an accurate definition of what he had. And, you know, he lived with that. We lived with that. It's a family-related disease until he died at age 23. And the idea of not just what would Jesus do, but where would Jesus go and how it connects to sports. Jesus hung out with the losers, with the sufferers, the people that were on the margins, the people that were the sinners in need of forgiveness and grace. And one of the gifts of that is it allows us in humility to answer and kind of acknowledge that that broken person, that suffering person is every one of us. Mm. It was Vinny in a particular way with schizophrenia, but every one of us, literally, has sin, brokenness, illness, disease, suffering in our lives. And responding in a way that it literally, it's not, you know, my problem with what would Jesus do, the human ego easily says, well, Jesus would do what I do. Me and Jesus, we're tight. Well, yeah, and that's also when Jesus is always doing what I'm doing, then I'm worshiping myself and not Jesus. Mm. So I think the dynamic and how I apply it to the world of sports, where would Jesus go? In the whole world of sports, we need to make sure every child has a chance to play, to participate, to be involved, to have the opportunity. I've been in my position with CYO in the Diocese of Cleveland for 26 years. Our organization's been running CYO for 87.
Wow.
We have never once turned a child away due to a lack of funds, and we never will. Now, we have depended on God, like, Lord, how are we going to pay our bills, just like you are, Bruce?
Sure.
But, you know, I work for Catholic Charities, and the poor, the outcast, the people on the margins, those are our people. They belong to us. And I think, I don't mind saying, it is a direct rejection of the idea of the prosperity gospel that God favors the rich and wants us all to have a lot of money and things. Well, that's not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus says, depend on me. Do not worship and idolize money, wealth, fame, power. Do not seek those things.
Yeah, that's great. And I was thinking along the same lines as you were going through that. And even before you said it, and it's thanks to what you shared in the first half of the show, I thought, well, isn't that what you're doing with your work of saying every child is going to get a chance to play? Unfortunately, we see far too often in society, and you see it in movies and things like that, where you see a line of kids standing around and one person is picking his team and another person is picking his team. And there's always the kid at the end that nobody wants to pick. And like you said, aren't those the same people that Jesus did spend time with during his time on earth, that he didn't turn anyone away? And so what gives us the right to turn someone away and say, well, I don't want you on my team. You don't deserve to be on anyone's team for that matter. So the CYO is doing a great job of upholding that and living that out.
Well, thank you. And I think the idea as well is kids, in addition to playing, why they play for fun and to be with friends, they also want to be on a team. They want to learn skills. They want to get that feeling of what it means to be a community. And when the coach realizes it's not about them, and when parents realize it's not about having to win all the games or lose all the games, you know, one of the things I will say to parents, I do a lot of parent training work, is the idea when they'll be angry and come up to a coach, I can't believe you coached that way, or you played my son not as much as they deserve. I can't believe we lost. And I'll say to the parent, what position do you play? Because when they use the pronoun we, it implies that they're playing. And I'll tell the parent, I can't imagine you going to a parent-teacher conference saying, yeah, I can't believe we got a D on the test. Because it's not their test, and it's not their game. It's the child's game. Wow. And we need to let it be just that.
Yeah, and tell me, Dobie, when was the last time a parent came up to you and said, "You're giving my son or my daughter too much playing time"?
Amen. Well, actually, that on it, Bruce, the miracle, and it was a miracle. I knew year one I'd get, you know, tarred and feathered when we said guaranteed playing time and no cutting, and that's not changing. And it was, now the good news is a vast majority of people were like, "It's about time." Mm. But the miracle of it was from year two on, and we've now been doing it for, you know, well over a decade, within no time at all, it became, "Oh my gosh, this is great." Wow. Every parent is seeing every child play all the time.
Wow.
Who's going to complain about that?
Yeah, that's great. That's
nobody.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, let me break this into two questions. First is, share with the audience how long you've been married and also all the children and grandchildren that has produced.
And May 22nd will be our 40th anniversary, which ironically, I'm going to connect it to your earlier question. It is also, it would have been Benny's 25th birthday. And what we are doing is we're celebrating with a home mass with a number of other Christians here at the house. So we're just excited. And it's a way to honor and be grateful for his gift, but also for the gift of married love. And then we have seven children, and we got our fifth grandchild on May 13th. Praise be to God. We're just so thankful.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, so next, share about the work that you and your wife have done as mentors and as advocates.
You know, one of the gifts of God giving us more time in this world for everyone, and in our case, we're both in our early 60s, is the gift of being able to pass on life, to be procreative. You know, our Catholic Church has long used the language that every person's called to be procreative and that in marriage we're supposed to be procreative. And too often people have narrowly defined that as procreative equals having babies. And that is an example, Bruce, of a half-truth. It is true. That is one expression of it. But there are many expressions of it. You know, you may have heard the adage, the problem with the half-truth is you may get the wrong half. You know, so my take is single people, married people, priests, vowed religious, every one of us is called to be life-giving to other people. And one of the ways Lisa and I do that, we try together, is in any way that we can. We have mentored young couples preparing for marriage. We have been especially mindful of the many, many young adults who are out there suffering from mental illness and serious mental illness, and they've either lost their families because of how they treated them or for any number of reasons. Well, somebody needs to be there for them, and we try to do that, not as well as we could. And I would say the other part is that, you know, who does Jesus favor? And it would be the least, the lost, and left behind. Mm. So we have mentored refugees, literally have lived in our home with us.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, we have received far more than we've given in that process. Mm. A metaphor that I love being a Christian is the idea of God's human family. Every single person of every race and religion is already made in God's image and likeness.
Amen.
Our job Christians is to love them as we love God. And they are our brothers and sisters, and I just deeply believe that. So the idea there, those members of the human family, those are our people too. And I'll tell you what, I've eaten more foods from more places around the world than I ever imagined. That's why I have to keep playing tennis so I don't just become too heavy.
There you go. I think we can certainly see the carryover of who you are in that work that you just described that you and your wife do, and in the sports world, in what you've been a part of with the Good Shepherd Fund. Tell the audience what that is.
You know, so thank you again. It's an exciting thing. We decided for the 70th anniversary of CYO's, we did a major event to celebrate 70 years of how CYO had touched people's lives in ways beyond what we ever knew. And we used that event to begin a Good Shepherd's Fund that anybody could donate to. And in our Good Shepherd's Fund, we use that money most often, frankly, to pay programs. So we have over 110 CYO separate organization programs in the Diocese of Cleveland. And some of those programs need money for equipment, for registration, for coaches training, for facility upkeep, They're things that allow them, in addition to helping the children themselves who can't afford registering and paying. And we're nonprofit, so there's no money to be made, you know, for profit in this, but there are expenses and that's to be covered. So that scholarship, I'm very proud of it, in the last 12 years, has given away over $400,000. And all of that is based on the kindness and the generosity of the CYO community, who they really do want to pass it forward. And just like for 70 plus years, we've never turned anyone away, we want to make sure that never happens in the future either.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. As we get set to close here, there's something that you sent me in the lead up to today that I thought would be good to end on as it relates to leaving the audience with something to spend time with, sort of Lectio Divina, some contemplative prayer. You mentioned an image that nourishes your imagination and attempt to live as a faithful disciple of Jesus, that being the question of who is outside the love and mercy of God.
You know, Bruce, I'm aware, as are you, that we live in a time where leaders of every stripe seem to celebrate treating other people as less than fully human. And I think what we are called to remember and just ask ourselves, that question, who's outside of God's love and mercy? The answer for Christians to that is nobody. So consequently, we can't talk about people from other countries as if they're somehow less than us. We can't talk about people of other religions and races as if they are less than us. We actually have to see every other person as made in God's image and likeness, and therefore having the dignity that God gives every human being. And that means I have to look in my heart and ask, how am I doing that with people of all backgrounds, races, religions, economic backgrounds, all those pieces? And there is another side to this, that when I see any of those people suffer, I do not have the option of looking away. I have to say, okay, Lord, what are you asking me to do to make sure they know your love and mercy through me? And that, to me, is a troubling question that I reflect on often at night, but it's one that says, I need to do more and be more as a Christian and a follower of Jesus.
Well, and I want to put it in a sports context, and really, for that matter, even tie it back into your just having shared with us about the Good Shepherd Fund. I think there's also a tendency for people in the sports world to look down on certain other sports that are less important or that aren't as popular, or these sports become marginalized because we do place too much of a value on the most popular sports in terms of participation. And that's where you say, well, who is outside the love and mercy of God? If we are treating those as second-class sports, as second-class participants, then we need to look back inside of ourselves first instead of what these sports are or are not. And I think that's why CYO, if people think of CYO in the context of just basketball or just soccer or just, that's why CYO offers so many sports.
Amen, Bruce. And my footnote on that would be, and you know, I'll take on any ex-football players my age and see how we do on a tennis court.
There you go. The challenge has been thrown down. Dobie, it's been so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for making time for Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family and the work that you're doing in Cleveland.
Well, thank you so much, and may God help us all be faithful.
Listeners, it has been a bit since I've done a prayer that was given to me from the National Catholic Coaches Association. So as a nod to Dobie and his time in coaching tennis, let's do this together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Romans 12, verse 9, love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Father, may I be a living testimony for you to everyone I encounter. Help me stay focused on you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.